This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس وما يعقلها إلا العالمون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to Surah An-Nur, in which we have a very, very profound and beautiful parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents. And this parable is named after the surah, Surah An-Nur. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in verse number 35 of Surah An-Nur, Allahu nuru as-samawati wal-ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح. The parable or the example of his light is like a niche within which is a lamp. المصباح في زجاجة. And this lamp is within a glass. الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية. The glass, as if it was a shining star, lit from the oil of a blessed tree, and that is the olive tree, neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow even if it was untouched by fire. يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارُ. And then Allah concludes, نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ. Light upon light. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to his light whomever he wills. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. And Allah presents parables for the people. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowing of all things. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares his light, which is in the believer's heart of iman, Allah compares it to a lantern. A lantern. And so light is something which makes things visible, which itself is something that glows and helps make other things to glow and become shiny and visible. And our human mind, it conceives light in this very sense. Our human mind, we conceive of light in this very sense. And so, an absence of light, what do we call it? We call it darkness. We call it invisibility. On the other hand, when things become visible and they become exposed to us, we say there is light. And in the old days, things were much different than they are today. Today, we take light for granted. Our lives have become so comfortable for us that any time of the day or the night, we can make things visible for us by light through electricity. But in the old days, they never had electricity anywhere, not to light their homes, nor to light their cities, but rather they had other sources of light, other methods by which they could see in the dark. And one such way is through the lantern. The lantern, al-misbah. And so a lantern, it makes things visible in the dark. But now, not every single lantern is the same. Not every single lantern gives the same amount of glow and shine and radiance. Rather, the power of the radiance, the power of the glow, it depends on a number of factors. There are a number of factors that have to be present in order for the light of that lantern to glow to its max and give you the best shine possible. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the example of the light of guidance and iman in the heart of the believer. Because it is through this light that the mu'min, that the believer is guided in all of his affairs in this life. And so the stronger that light is, the stronger his determination is, the stronger his resolve is, and the more easier his life becomes for him. And so the iman in the heart of the believer, it glows like a lamp, as Allah says here. This lamp, Allah describes it as being within a niche. What is a niche? Basically, in the olden days, in their homes, they would place the lantern in a place in the wall. So they would carve out, a kind of hole or a drawer or a shelf within the wall. And they would place the lantern within that wall. So then it could shine outward. So Allah says that this lantern, it's within a niche. And this niche is in the wall. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this lantern, or the lamp, or the candle, it is inside of a clear glass. So it is inside of a clear glass, not a foggy glass, not a glass that has become dirty, clear. And the glass, Allah tells us the glass, is like as if it was a brilliant star in the clear night sky. And Allah tells us that this lantern and this candle, It is lit from olive oil, which has today been proven to be one of the best sources of light. Because in order for you to have a flame in a candle, you have to light it. And in the old days, they would use oil to light their candles and their lanterns. But not every oil is suitable. And so Allah tells us that olive oil is used from the blessed tree, Shajara al-Mubarakah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that this tree, this blessed tree, the olive tree, is neither of the east nor of the west. What does that mean? It means that the olive tree grows in a part of the world which is not in the extreme east nor in the extreme west. And we know that olive trees grow in the Middle East, and specifically in the Blessed Land, and that is Palestine and those areas around Palestine. And in those days, that was considered the center of the world, neither the Far East nor the Far West. This is one explanation that has been mentioned by the scholars of tafsir. Another explanation that they have is that this tree, it receives light at all times of the day. At all times of the day. So it doesn't matter what time of the day it is receiving the light of the sun because of where it is located. And so it is not in the eastern part of the world, nor the western part of the world, nor the northern part of the world, nor the southern part of the world, where at certain times of the year, certain seasons, the light of the sun is less. But rather it is in a central position where it gets sun from the beginning of the day until the end throughout the year. And so its oil is good and pure and shining. Light upon light. The light of the fire upon the light of the olive oil. And so the light of the believer is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, light upon light. The light of iman combined with the light of guidance, combined with the light of the Quran, combined with the light of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's because the fitrah of the believer is pure and clean. The fitrah of the believer is pure and clean. It has not become fogged. It has not become stained by filth, and that is the filth of sins. And so the light of the believer is like this because of his fitrah. His fitrah is pure and clean, just like pure oil. Pure oil is not the same as oil that has become mixed with other elements. If you want pure oil, then that is different than fake oil or oil that has become mixed with other ingredients. And so likewise, the fitrah of the believer is pure, just like the pure oil. And so he is ready to receive the guidance at any time. So when knowledge and iman reaches such a person, it causes the light in his heart to glow and shine, just like when fire touches that lantern wick. Right away it glows and shines. And so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us concerning His light, the light of Allah in the heart of the believer. Among the lessons that we can derive from this parable is, first and foremost, and I'm sure this is coming on the minds of many, Allah says here that He is the light of the heavens and the earth. How is Allah the light of the heavens and the earth? Basically, the scholars, they say that light, based on this verse, an-nur, or light, is one of the names of Allah. It comes under the category of Allah's names and attributes. And it is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we accept Allah's names and attributes as they are, without trying to delve deeply into them, without trying to understand exactly how these names and attributes are. So when Allah says He is the light of the heavens and the earth, we simply accept that yes, He is the light of the heavens and the earth, but we don't try to compare it to anything. We don't try to resemble it to anything. We don't try to explain it in human terms. And so light, an-nur, is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's permissible for us to name our children as Abdun Nur, the servant of An-Nur. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this name when he said in a dua, all praises to you, O Allah, all praises to you, O Allah, you are the light of the heavens and the earth. Anta nuru samawati wal ard, wa laka alhamd, and all praises to you. So both from the Quran and from the Sunnah, we have evidence that An-Nur is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second lesson that we learn here is that if we were to look at this verse and where it has been mentioned in Surah An-Nur, we can derive a lesson from this. And this is where Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, concerning the context, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about His light here in Surah An-Nur? Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, Allah mentioned this verse after the verses concerning lowering the gaze. And so a few verses before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Allah commanded both the men and the women, the believing men and the believing women, to lower their gaze and to not look at what is haram for them to look at. Ibn Taymiyyah says, Allah mentioned this verse after the verses concerning lowering the gaze. And Allah rewards His servant in the same way as the servant acts. Allah rewards you in the same way as you act. And so when the servant lowered his gaze from what is haram to look at, Allah reimbursed him with something similar but far better, granting him basira, insight, and success. And so it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the believer when he lowers his gaze and does not look at what is haram to look at. Allah rewards him by giving him light so that he could see what is beneficial for him in this life and in the akhirah. The third lesson that we learn from this is that not everyone is suitable for this light. This light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to whomever He wills. And that's why Allah ends by saying, يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah guides to His light whomever He wills. And so Allah chooses to give this light to those hearts, that He knows will accept this light and will grow with it. And Allah does not give this light to just anyone and everyone. And so this light is the light of guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whom He wills, and He allows to go astray, He leads people astray, whomever He wills. This is the secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one should question or object to this decision of Allah. Why did He allow certain people to receive His light and He didn't allow others to receive it? Allah does as He wishes. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Your Lord chooses and decides what He wills. No one can stop Allah from doing what He wills. But what we know for sure is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-wise, and whatever decision He makes subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on ultimate wisdom and justice. The fourth lesson that we learn from this parable is that if we want the light of Allah, we need to enable our hearts to receive it. We need to enable our hearts to receive this light. How? By purifying our hearts and our intentions, and by cleaning our hearts of all kinds of things which are displeasing to Allah. Of shahawat, lustful desires, and shubuhat, evil and deviant thoughts and doubts. And so, if we want to receive the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to make the place where the light will come, we need to make it ready. We need to prepare it and let it to be like fertile ground that is ready to receive the rain and the sunshine, therefore, thereby producing fruits. Because not any land is suitable and ready to produce vegetation, but rather you need to work hard to get that land ready. And that's what farmers do. If you want to grow anything, you can't just, you know, throw the seeds there and say, okay, they're going to grow. You need to work hard. You need to get that land ready. Dig it. Make sure that it has the right kind of soil, the right amount of soil. The seeds are placed in the right place. And then make sure that it's in a place that'll receive good sunshine and, you know, good rainfall, etc. And so it requires effort. Likewise, if we want to receive this light, the light of the guidance from Allah, we need to prepare our hearts to receive it. And so if you are indulging in sin and chasing after the dunya and chasing after fulfilling your desires, and then you say, I want the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want the light of His guidance and His iman, how? It just doesn't work that way. But rather you need to work hard to purify your soul and your heart, and then ask Allah for His guidance.